Okay. Alrighty. Shabbat Shalom again to everybody here. And Shabbat Shalom to those who will be with us today around the world. Great concept of being able to share a Shabbat together in spirit. And fortunately, I'm going to have to go into a subject today that's not really an encouraging subject. It's refuting a false doctrine that has been around. I was actually asked to do this message at least 2 or 3 years ago, and at the time I had so many other things I was working on, and I was thinking, come on, nobody can really believe this, can they? Yet, over the last 2 to 3 years, I found out there's a fair amount of people believing in the Lunar Sabbath. Does everybody here know what I'm talking about when I say the Lunar Sabbath? Anybody who doesn't know what the Lunar Sabbath is, please raise your hand. Okay, because I'm going to explain it now. I'll explain what the Lunar Sabbath is, and then we'll get into, I'll give clearly today at least 4 to 5 substantiated proofs from Scripture where it would be impossible for the Lunar Sabbath to work, and then end up from there. Alrighty, if we look at the board over here, we basically know the way the Sabbath works is pretty simple. I'm going to go into this when I start with the Scriptures going straight from Genesis, that there's been a 7-day cycle since creation. So you have 6 days of creation, the 7th day was the Sabbath, and actually if you look in Genesis 2, the Sabbath was created by Yahweh resting. It's actually part of creation. That's why I say, the same way the sun and the moon and the stars are part of creation, and they didn't disappear at Yeshua's death and resurrection, you can expect the Sabbath, which is a noun, it's a day, it's a thing, you can expect it to disappear. Now, the false theory that I'm going to get into today, the Lunar Sabbath theory, is that the Sabbath is not a 7-day cycle. It's not a reoccurring 7-day cycle, but it goes by the new moon. So when there's a new moon, and you could look on here, let's say this is just a fictitious calendar. But let's say that the new moon is Monday, right? That's the new moon, day 2 of the week, Monday. I only put these days here for anybody that may be watching this. I know Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I know they're pagan. I know they come from paganism. That's why I have day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. But again, because of the confusion of the changes in the days of the week and the lunar and whatever, I also put the days of the week here. Traditional Roman days, please excuse me, don't shoot me down for that. So that there'd be no confusion when we say day 1 through 6, because what we're going to see is, according to the lunar calendar, day 1 through 6 doesn't mean what we think day 1 through 6 means. They're going day 1 through 6 or day 1 through 7 according to the new moon every month. So on a lunar calendar, if you're going by the lunar Sabbath, your Sabbath is going to change every month. And you'll see it here. If the new moon was on Monday, okay, then Tuesday, the first day, day 3, would be the first day of the month. Now, that would start the 7-day cycle for the weekly cycle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and the 8th day would be your Sabbath. So, in this particular month, the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, the 29th, Tuesday would be the Sabbath day that month. Now you have the 29th is the lunar Sabbath. 30th is a nothing day. The extra days they call nothing day, I'll get into that, which is another thing that's ridiculous, because you're waking up, there's a sunset and there's a sunrise, so it can't be a nothing day, you know, we're existing, but they call it a nothing day. They don't count it in the weekly cycle. And then the day of the new moon is also a nothing day. It doesn't count as anything. It's not in any count. And then, when the next new moon comes, which would be here, then the Sabbath would be the day after the new moon. So the next month, the Sabbath is going to be Friday. So you can see every month is a different day. One month it's Tuesday, one month it's Friday. Now, right off the bat, you could look at this and you say, this is crazy. And this is why I've neglected from actually even taking the time to do a message about it. Because it's such utter ridiculousness that you wonder, how can anybody fall for it? Yet, around the world, and particularly in America, many people are starting to fall for it. And I'm going to get into, in the end of the message, why I believe people are falling for it. But this is the concept of the lunar Sabbath. That from every new moon, you count 7 days and that's your Sabbath. And that's why 1 month, your Sabbath can be on Tuesday, 1 month it can be on Friday, 1 month it can be on Wednesday, on whatever. So that's the basic concept of the lunar Sabbath. So let's start getting into why can't the lunar Sabbath, why can't it be correct? Somebody came up to me one time a couple of years ago, and they talked. They said, oh, I want to talk to you about something. And it happened to be the lunar Sabbath. Unfortunately, when people want to talk to me about something that I'm not enlightened on, it's usually one of three things. It's either the lunar Sabbath, Yeshua didn't pre-exist, or that women should be teachers. And I've studied all three of them for 25 years, so it's going to be hard to convince me on one of those three topics. But every now and then, somebody will enlighten me to something on these three things. So they said to me, well, if you could just give me one reason why the lunar Sabbath can't be, that's all I need, just one reason, right? Because if we could prove from Scripture that this is not the way that Yahweh set the precedent, then we throw it out the window, right? Very simple. So what's the best place to go to if you're going to set a precedent, especially for something like this? Genesis, the book of Genesis. So I clearly went to the book of Genesis. Now remember the precedent. Whenever you have a new moon, whenever it's new moon day, you count from the next day, so, depending on who you are to. Some lunar Sabbath people count from the day of the new moon. Most of them count from the day after the new moon. But either way, from that new moon, you're counting 7 days, and that's your weekly cycle. So is that the way it was set up at creation? Let's look. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Pretty simple, right? And the earth being without form and empty and darkness on the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim moving gently on the face of the waters. Then Elohim said, let light be. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light that it was good, and Elohim separated between light and darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, day one. Okay, very simple. Pretty simple, right? Day one. Day one is the separating from light and darkness. Now, was there the sun and the moon and the stars at this point? No, of course not. We'll get into it. The sun and the moon and the stars, this is what the lunar Sabbath people are saying. They were here. Yahweh just didn't talk about them. No, that's not true. We're going to see. They were not here. They were not made. They were not created at this point. So where did the light come from? The light came from the presence of Yahweh. Does Yahweh need the sun to give us light? Absolutely not, and I'll prove my point in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Now, this is at the very end, right? This is after the millennium, after the 1,000 years. This is when all things are renewed. It's when Yahweh the Father is back on earth. His presence is with his people. And let's look what it says. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, bright as crystal, coming forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. What a wonderful time that's going to be. The millennium is going to be wonderful enough, but this is even going to blow away the millennium. Then if you look in verse 4 and verse 5, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, talking about Yahweh, and night will not be there, and they have no need of a lamp or a light of the sun, because Yahweh Elohim will give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So very clearly, you don't need the sun for light. Yahweh's presence is light. And that's the point he's making in Genesis 1. In the beginning, there was nothing. There was darkness. And Yahweh creates something out of nothing. It's why Hebrews 11 says, faith is what? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And that's why the new moon, you don't have to see a crescent to know that there's a new month. You're already sometimes 1 to 3 days into the moon cycle when the crescent appears. You know, and that's the point. And in Hebrews 11, he says, by this way we know the worlds were framed, that things that were created did not appear out of things that were already made. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So conjunction comes before crescent, very, very simply. So we see over here, the precedent was in Genesis. The sun and the moon and the stars were not created yet. There was light because Yahweh's presence was there. Very, very simple. If we go back to Genesis 1 now, we'll start from verse 14 on day 4 now. You know, then we had day two, we had day three, and now we're into day four. Verse 14, and Elohim said, let light sources be in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, holy day seasons, Moedim, and for days and for years. And that's why the sun, the moon, and the stars, they divide between the day, they divide between the month, they divide between the year. The precession of the equinoxes. You know, the sun going through all 12 constellations and then coming back. You know, the sun passing the equator, you know, at the equinox. All these things he says. The sun, the moon, and the stars are for times and seasons and years. And let them be for light sources in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made. Elohim made. Right here on day four. Elohim made the two great light sources. The great light to rule the day and the small light to rule the night. So it's very clear. They were not made on day one. They weren't there already. On day four, Elohim made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And Elohim set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide between the light and the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning day four. So very clearly, now let's logically put this together, because this is what I told the person. Just give me one reason why the lunar Sabbath can't be, and I'll forget it. Okay, the whole point of the lunar Sabbath is from the new moon. You have your new moon, you count 7 days, and that's the Sabbath. Well, here the new moon is on day four. On day four, the sun, the moon, and the stars are created. This is conjunction. And 3 days later is Shabbat. So right here, from Genesis 1, we could throw this lunar Sabbath thing right out the window. When I told that to the person, they said, do you have one more reason? You know, it's like the snake in the garden all over again. Why on earth, when we see right here from creation, Yahweh did not set the weekly cycle based on the moon cycle? And there's one other reason, which is just so simple that you could anyone logically can prove for themselves. The moon cycle, it's theorized, was a 30-day cycle going back in time. Scientists tell us somewhere around 700 BC, the cycle changed to a 29.5-day cycle. But either way, if it's a 29.5-day, if it's a 30-day cycle, if you look at a 7-day week cycle, it doesn't divide into 29 or 30. So there's no way that the weekly cycle can depend on the moon cycle. Just logic will tell you that. It just doesn't divide together. It's illogical. It doesn't work. You know. But again, so we could stop the sermon right here. We already proved it can't be. But I don't want to stop here. You know why? I don't, because I know nobody in this room believes in this, but there are a lot of people out there. Unfortunately, Orly, it was a Filipino who started this false doctrine. Orly knows about that and brought it over to the West. So we can't blame America for everything. This time we won't blame America for causing this doctrine, but we can blame them for perpetrating the doctrine. And I will get into at least three other reasons, maybe four other reasons, why biblically it's impossible for this to be correct. So again, right here we prove from creation. Day four is the new moon. Day seven is the Sabbath 3 days later. It doesn't work. It doesn't work according to this. It's not 7 days after the new moon. Now the other thing, the other reason why people are saying there has to be the lunar Sabbath is because they say according to the Sabbath command, it says 6 days you shall work and the seventh day is the Sabbath. So they're saying a holy day can't fall during the week. A holy day can only be on the Sabbath, or you're breaking the commandment. You know, you have to work 6 days. Well, again, they're taking it out of context. It's not written in the command form. When you look, 6 days you shall work. It's not in the command form in the Hebrew. It's just meaning normally 6 days you're going to work. And I'm going to prove to you today that whether you're going by a lunar Sabbath calendar or you're going by the normal Hebrew calendar, you will never get all your holy days on the Sabbath. It's impossible. Because of the way the holy days fall, they don't fall in cycles of seven. So no matter which calendar you're using, you will never have all your holy days on the Sabbath anyway. So that argument, according to the lunar Sabbath people, it just doesn't hold water. Exodus 20, verse 8. We'll get into the second point on the Shabbat, why the lunar Sabbath is not a viable theory according to Scripture. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it set apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you and your son, your daughter, and your male slave, and your slave girl, and your livestock, and your stranger who is living in your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all in them, and he rested on the seventh day, Ha Shabbat. On account of this, Yahweh blessed the seventh day, Ha Shabbat, and set it apart. Number one, when you're talking about sanctification, the whole point of sanctification, of setting something special apart, just like we were talking about in our Torah reading, to set something special apart, it has to be special. If your Sabbath is 1 month on a Tuesday, and 1 month on a Thursday, and 1 month on a Sunday, it's not set apart. It's something different. So number one, it's going against the whole concept of sanctification to begin with. And number two, in Hebrew, whenever you have the perfect article, Hashabbat, it's defining one specific thing. One specific thing. It's the same way where if you said a sanctuary, we're meeting in a mikdash. This is a mikdash. It's a sanctuary. But if I were to say to anybody out here, any Israeli, Ha Mikdash, what's the only thing they would think of? They would think of the temple in Jerusalem. That's the only thing they would think of. If you say Alma, Alma means a virgin, a young girl of marriageable age. But if you were to say Ha Alma, the virgin, what would the only thing you would think of? Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. You know, so the perfect article in the Hebrew connotates something special. So again, when you're looking at the Hebrew and it's Ha Shabbat, clearly it's one day. Clearly there's no other way to... So the man who came up with this false theory, number one, does not understand Hebrew or the way Hebrew works. And you just don't get it. It's clearly one day. 6 days you shall work. The seventh day is the Sabbath. And I'm going to go over some scriptures here showing this, that nowhere in any of the Sabbath commands, I'm going to read you about 6 or 7 of them, nowhere in any of the Sabbath commands does it ever talk about extra days, nothing days, days at the end of the month, days that don't matter, days that don't count, or anything other like that. It's just not there. It's very simple. It's a 7-day pattern. 6 days you shall work, the seventh day is Shabbat. So let's read some of these. Let's go into Exodus 23:12. Excuse me. Exodus 23:12. You shall do your work 6 days, and on the seventh day, Ha Shabbat, you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your slave girl and your alien may be refreshed. Exodus 34:21. Exodus 34:21. You may work 6 days, and on the seventh day, Ha Shabbat, you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest. Exodus 35:1, just one page over. And Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, these are the words which Yahweh has commanded to do them. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day, Ha Shabbat, it shall be holy to you, a Sabbath of rest to Yahweh. Everyone doing work in it surely shall be put to death. pretty simple. Whenever you see the commandment of the Sabbath day, what you see here is, you see that it's HaShabbat. It's a 6-day cycle, 7-day resting. 6-day cycle, 7-day resting. Now, be honest with yourself. The Sabbath is probably one of, if not the most important commandment, because it's the test commandment. You know, almost... If you look at just about any Israelite that has been in diaspora, that's fallen into paganism, usually the first thing that brings them back into Torah observance is what? The Sabbath. That's usually the very first thing. And what is the word picture for the Sabbath? To return to the family of the covenant, or the covenant of the family. The Sabbath is the thing that's returning you into covenant relationship. So do you think something that's that important, Something that really shows the only creator of the world, if there was this craziness of nothing days, extra days, elongated weeks, that there wouldn't be anything in Scripture talking about it? Not even one Scripture? How would we know to do this? If there wasn't a Filipino who I don't know, maybe ate too many beans one night or went crazy, whatever he was doing that he came up with this, I don't know. You know, Orly, maybe you know. I don't know. I don't know too much about it. All I know is he came up with this theory, and there's nothing to back the theory up. There's not one Scripture, not even remotely one Scripture, that's telling us about extra days, adding days, or anything else. When we look at the Scripture, it's very, very clear. 6 days you work, the seventh day is the Sabbath. It's a seven-day cycle. The moon cycle, like I said, 29 or 30 days. Seven does not divide into 29 or 30. There's no way that this can work. So that's point number two. The second thing is when you look at it very clearly, is that the word for Shabbat, you know, when you look at the Hebrew word for Shabbat, and the word for week, Shavuah, you know, Shavuah Tov, the word for Shavuah, they both come from the same root, which means seven, Sheva. So Shabbat, Shavuah, Sheva, they're all from the same root. And we're learning in Hebrew. What are we learning about roots, right? Roots have meaning. And there could be 10 or 15 words that come from the same root that all have the same meaning. And the meaning of Shabbat, the meaning of Shavuah, week, the meaning of Sheva, seven, are all connected with sevens. They're all connected with sevens. So again, what is Yahweh telling us? That the Shabbat is a seven-day cycle. This is not a seven-day cycle. You know, that's the first thing that caught my eye. If somebody came to me and said, you know something? Saturday is not the Shabbat. Somehow it got mixed in the 12th century, and really Tuesday is Shabbat. I'd listen, because I don't know. I wasn't around in the 12th century. So many other things were told to me that were lies. Maybe Saturday isn't the seventh day. Okay, if you got proof, let's hear it. But if you're going to tell me this month the Sabbath is Tuesday, next month it's Thursday, and the next month it's Wednesday, it's not a seven-day cycle. You've lost all your credence. There's no sense in even looking into that. Because again, when you look at the word for Shabbat, the word for Shavuah, the word for Sheva, they're all based on sevens. They're all based on the root word, which is seven. And again, this is not based on a seven. It's not based on a seven cycle. Let's go to number three, proof. The proof that this cannot be true. And we will go to Exodus 16. As Exodus 16. And I'm going to start in verse 21. It says, and they gathered it in the morning. This is talking about the manna now. Do you remember the story with the manna, right? The people are in the wilderness. They're collecting the manna from heaven. And what does Yahweh tell them? We're going to see. He tells them, each day you collect your manna and don't keep it overnight. Because if you keep it overnight, what's going to happen? The next morning it's going to have maggots. It's going to be bad. But on the sixth day, right? On the sixth day, what's going to happen? You're going to collect the manna for 2 days, and on Shabbat, the manna isn't going to have maggots. It's a miracle that Yahweh's going to do. You know, and it's one of the, I say, if somebody's ever trying to argue with you about Shabbat, whether you should keep Shabbat today or not, right here in the wilderness, count 52 weeks by 40 years, and you'll see how many miracles were done here just in this one thing, proving the Shabbat. I mean, right here, you have thousands of miracles, absolute miracles, just proving this one commandment. But let me start again in verse 21. And they gathered it, the manna, in the morning, each one in the morning, according to the mouth of his eating. And it melted in the heat of the sun. And it came out on the sixth day, they gathered double bread, 2 omers for one. And all the leaders of the congregation came and reported to Moses. And he said to them, that is what Yahweh said, tomorrow is a rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. What you will bake, bake, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that is left over to keep it until the morning. Kind of what we do here, right? You know, we do all our cooking. Some do it start on Thursday, and then on Friday, Yom Shishi, And then we eat Friday night, and then on Shabbat, whatever's left over, we have the rest of it on Shabbat. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, and no maggot was in it. You know, hopefully it'll be the same when we have our fellowship meal. Although we're not going to be eating manna. I don't think so, but it'll still be the same. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. You shall gather it 6 days, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath. In it none shall be found. And it happened on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather and did not find any. And Yahweh said to Moses, until when do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws, my Torah? Behold, because Yahweh has given the Sabbath to you, therefore he is giving to you 2 days of bread on the sixth day. Remember that. 2 days of bread on the sixth day. Each one of you remain in his place. Do not let anyone go out from his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day. Now this is a big problem for this, for the lunar Sabbath people. Because even though you could say the end of the month are non-days, and maybe in your mind they can be a non-day, even though, like I said, the sun rises and the sun sets, but you still have to eat. So now why, when he says clearly, if this was the calendar that Yahweh was using in these days, why wouldn't he put anything in about on the fourth Sabbath, collect for 3 days, or collect for 4 days on Friday? No mention of it, absolutely no mention. Clearly he says, on the sixth day, collect for 2 days. 7 day cycle again. Nothing even remotely that would hint to that. Why not? If it's there, there's got to be something. So again, proof number three, clear cut proof. On the sixth day, you collected, and this isn't one miracle. Remember, this is a miracle that was a weekly miracle, 52 weeks a year, 40 years in the wilderness. So you have over 2,000 reasons why this can't be true. More than 2,000 reasons. Very, very clearly. On the sixth day, you collect for 2 days. Nothing about extra days, nothing about new moon days, nothing about nothing days. Nothing about fasting days, you know. And again, if you talk to lunar Sabbath people, because these end of the month days are so problematic, they all have a different reason. Some call them nothing days. Some say the Sabbath goes 3 days. They call it a long Sabbath. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, who's ever thinking of this theory, they must really not like to work. They're looking for extra holidays or something like that. Because the Sabbath is never 3 days. You would not call it Ha Shabbat, the Sabbath day, if it was 3 days. It just wouldn't be. It just would not be. And there's nothing ever, even remotely in Scripture, ever talking to a Sabbath, one Sabbath that lasts for 3 days at a time. So here, clearly, point number three, third point that clearly, decisively proves this theory cannot be true. Let's go into the next point. According to the lunar Sabbath theory, like I said, one of their biggest points, and really I'm not even sure why, but like they say that every Sabbath has to fall, every holy day, every modim has to fall on a Sabbath. It's a big part of their theory in holding all this together. But let's go to Leviticus 23, and we will see that just logic will tell you every holy day cannot fall on a Sabbath, whether you're using a lunar calendar or the biblical calendar. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And on the 15th day of this month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened things 7 days. On the first day you shall have a holy gathering, and you shall do no work. It's a holy day, right, Modim? And you shall bring your fire offering to Yahweh 7 days. And the seventh day shall be a holy gathering. So, during unleavened bread, the 14th day is Passover. The 15th day is unleavened bread, the holy day. Two separate days. The Passover and the holy day are not the same day. So the 14th day is Passover. The 15th day is the holy day. And then that's the first day of unleavened bread and the seventh day. So the 15th and the 21st day are holy days. So they can't both fall on a 7 day cycle. So right here, let me just show you on this calendar. Let's say this calendar is the first month of the year. Let's say this is Aviv. If the 15th day of the month is the holy day, right? Count 7 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The 21st of the month doesn't fall on their cycle. So I don't know what kind of cycle they're using for holy days, but very clearly, it's not the first day and the eighth day that's the holy days. It's the first and the seventh. So again, right here, even during the, if this lunar calendar was correct, you would not have your holy days falling on Shabbat. All of them. It just wouldn't work that way. You would not have all your holy days falling on Shabbat. Let's go on a couple more examples here. Go down to verse 15. Leviticus 23 and verse 15. And it says, "And you shall number to you from the next day after the Sabbath." This is talking about now the Feast of First Fruits counting to Shavuot. "And you shall number to you from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day you bring in the sheaf of the wave offering, they shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. To the next day after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall bring near a new food offering to Yahweh." So now we're going to have point number 4, why it's impossible for the lunar calendar to work. Because according to the lunar calendar, you can remember, these weeks are not 7-day weeks. At the end of the month, they have these 2 or 3 nothing days. So sometimes they have a 9-day week. That's why every month the Sabbath is falling on another thing. So again, logic will tell you, from the Feast of First Fruits, you count 7 complete weeks. How much is 7 weeks? 49 days. To the day after the 7th Sabbath is the 50th day. If you have 9-day weeks included, you will never get a 50-day count to Shavuot. It's impossible. Now, the theory they came up with is that this isn't talking about Shavuot as Shavuot. That this is talking about a second grain harvest in the fall. Now again, anybody that's been here in Israel, anybody who's come with us to Neoh Kedemim, anybody that's here can clearly see there is not a fall grain harvest. There just isn't one. There's one harvest in Israel as far as grain goes. They plant the harvest after Sukkot. In October, November, the harvest comes through in Aviv, and it goes all the way to Shavuot. That's the only grain harvest. It's a grain harvest that lasts about 3 months from Aviv to Shavuot. So you could say from April to June is when the grain harvest is. But instead of looking at this and saying, wow, they're right, it can't be. They're trying to figure out reasons to make it fit when it doesn't fit. But right off the bat, you can look at it. You cannot get a 50-day count to Shavuot using this kind of calendar. So clearly, decisively, point number 4, which makes this calendar impossible, makes it absolutely impossible. Let me go on to one more point here. Actually, there's 2 more points I'll go into. And before that, let me just continue on in Leviticus 23. I'll go over one more scripture. Leviticus 23 and 27. It says, "Also on the 10th of this month shall be a day of atonement. There shall be a holy gathering, and you shall humble and weaken your bodies and shall bring a fire offering to Yahweh." So logic again will tell you, if the first day of Tishri, the 7th month, is the Feast of Trumpets, right? Yom Teruah. And the 15th day of the month is Sukkot, then the 10th day of the month can't fall on the Sabbath. Let's look. The first day of the month, let's say this is Tishri now, this is the 7th month. So the first day of the month is going to be Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets. The 15th day is Sukkot. Look at where the 10th day falls. You can't have 1 and 15 and 10 all fall in a 7 cycle. It doesn't fit. So how do they get in that all the holy days all fall on a Shabbat? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You could clearly see it. First day and the 15th day may fall on that, but Yom Kippur, it wouldn't fall on that. So again, it's a false premise. It's a false premise that if you use this calendar, that all your holy days will just fall on Shabbat, and then you'll always work 6 days. And the 7th day will always be a Shabbat. It's just not true. It's absolutely not true. It doesn't work for the spring holy days, because it's not like here, during Sukkot, what is it? The first day is a holy day, and then the 8th day is a holy day. So in Tishri, it will work. 1, 15, 22. But it still doesn't work for Yom Kippur, the 10th day. And in the spring holy days, it doesn't work. The first day is a holy day, but it's not the eighth day, it's the seventh day. So all your holy days will not fall. Now, I want to show you a scripture conclusively showing you from scripture in the book of John that during the days of Yeshua, the holy days did not all fall on the Sabbath. I'm going to give you two perfect examples to clearly show that there was not a lunar Sabbath calendar being used in the days of Yeshua. So let's go to John now. John 7. One of the reasons why I love having the Aramaic manuscripts, because the Aramaic manuscripts bring things out that you'd never get in the Greek. And this is one of them. Let's go to John 7, and I'll start in verse 2 to set the time frame of where we are here. And the Feast of Sukkot in Judea was near. The Feast of Sukkot in Judea was near. So what time frame is this? Feast of Sukkot, the seventh month, right? Let's say that's a seventh month calendar. Feast of Sukkot. So it's the seventh month. Let's go down now to verse 8 and 9. And this is when his family's talking to him and they say, "You go up to the feast. I will not go up to this feast now because my time is not yet finished." Yeshua talking to his family. And saying these things to them, he remained in Galilee. So again, his family goes up to the feast and he waited back at that time. Verse 14. But the feast now being half over, Yeshua went up to the sanctuary and taught. So let's set the stage here, what we're looking at. It's the Feast of Sukkot. Yeshua didn't go up right away, but now he's in Jerusalem, and when is it? It's the middle of the feast, right? So this is the middle of the feast. It's not the first day that's the holy day, and it's not the last great day that's the holy day. It's the middle of the feast, and let's look at what day Scripture tells us this is in the middle of the feast. Go to verse 21. So Yeshua is arguing with the people about his doctrines and this and this. And then look at verse 21. Yeshua answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Because of this, Moses gave circumcision to you. It was not because it was from him, Moses, but from the patriarchs. Yet you circumcise a man on the day of the Sabbath. If a man is circumcised on the day of the Sabbath, so that the Torah of Moses should not be loosed, why do you murmur against me because the man who was created whole, I have made whole on this day of the Sabbath?" This was a Sabbath day. Clearly in the Aramaic, this is a Sabbath day. And when is it? The middle of the week. The middle of the week. So again, clear proof 5, this calendar was not being used. This calendar doesn't work. No doubt about it. Let me go to one other scripture showing the same thing in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And it's Yeshua's death and resurrection. Clearly, when you look at the time frame of Yeshua dying, you know, Yeshua was John 19 tells us that they wanted to take him off the tree because sunset was coming and that the Shabbat was a high Shabbat. It was a holy day that was coming. We know that that was not the weekly Shabbat because it was the holy day. So here it is. It's the middle of the week. He's being crucified and he's being taken down. And now, in Matthew 28, on the first day of the week, what is it saying? But after the Sabbaths, plural. After the Sabbaths, at the dawning into the first of the Sabbaths, Mary the Magdalene and the other Mary came to look upon the grave. So very, very clear from Scripture. When you look at this verse of Matthew 28, it's in the plural. There were two Sabbaths. There was a holy day Sabbath and a weekly Sabbath. They were not the same. So again, the second proof here that the holy day does not always have to fall on the Sabbath. It may at times. Matter of fact, I think this year, didn't it? This year it happened to. You know, the holy day fell on the Sabbath. It happens probably about 25% of the time, something like that, you know, that it will happen that way. But it doesn't have to happen that way. According to this theory, every holy day has to fall on a Shabbat. So clearly we see two conclusive evidences from the New Testament that that doesn't happen. The other thing I want to go into is just Luke 4 for a second. just to show you that clearly our Savior Yeshua did not use a lunar calendar. You know, it's absurd to think he did. Matter of fact, you know, say what you want against Judaism, right, wrong, or different, love it, not love it. It's like the Talmud and the Mishnah. You know, I don't look to the Talmud and the Mishnah for my doctrine. You know, I'm not going to look in there for what I'm going to believe. But at the same rate, I appreciate the Talmud and the Mishnah for historical references. There's no reason for me to disprove, you know, there's no reason for me, let's say, not to believe that this is what they believed back then. So if the Talmud says that people believe da-da-da, then why wouldn't I believe it? You know, so for historical purposes, and I say the same thing to Jewish people. I say, look, you don't have to believe in the New Testament. You don't have to believe that Yeshua rose from the dead. But there's 14,000 manuscripts all saying the same thing. From an historical standpoint, you must give it credence. There's no doubt about it. You look at other things of Socrates and Plato, that they might have two references somewhere, and people go wild. Wow, we have two references that build this together. Here in the New Testament, you have 14,000 references all saying the same thing. You have to, at least from a historical standpoint. Like I said, doctrinal, that's up to the person to decide through faith whether they're going to believe it or not. But on that subject, there is nothing, absolutely zero, in history that would make us believe that in the days of Yeshua, Jewish people were keeping a lunar Sabbath. There's nothing. There's nothing in the Jewish history books. There's nothing in the Mishnah. There's nothing in the Talmud. A matter of fact, the rabbis, all the way back from the time of Yeshua, do you know they have every single Sabbath recorded? That you could look at the dates on the Jewish calendar. They have records going all the way back thousands of years. That you could know what holy day fell on what day of the week and all that. You know, they have these things. They've had these things for thousands of years. Going back even to the 2nd century B.C. when some of the things of the Mishnah, you know, started to come at that time. And then by the 3rd, 4th century, they started to actually write them down and whatnot. So, again, if this was the kind of calendar they would keeping, don't you think there'd be something written somewhere about it? And there's not. There's absolutely nothing historically that would make us think that these people were keeping this kind of day. When we look at Luke 4:16, it says, "And he, Yeshua, came to Nazareth where he was brought up. And as was his custom, he went in on the day of the Sabbath, HaShabbat, one day, not a rotating day, but one day, into the synagogue, and he stood up to read." So clearly we see, as his custom was, Yeshua's custom was the same custom as the rest of any Jew in that day. Every seventh day, which we call Saturday, unfortunately, you know, It's a pagan day. Saturday is Saturn's day. Sunday is Baal's day. We know that. So I would much rather go by day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 7. And I believe that the lunar Sabbath only complicates things more. Because now them starting the weekly count by the new moon, when I'm saying day 4 is Wednesday, according to this, day 4 is Friday. So they're only making matters worse. That it's hard then even to go by numbers, because now you have to figure out what number are you going by. You know, so it's only more of a complication. But if you look in both the Dead Sea Scrolls and Josephus, the works of Josephus, who is the most predominant historian of the Jewish people of that time period, the two most authoritative sources of that time period show clearly that Saturday, as we know it, as the seventh day, was the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a seven-day cycle not calculated by the moon. You could look up the references, you know, but clearly both Josephus and the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Essenes kept a different calendar. The Essenes kept a lunar solar calendar, so their calendar was somewhat different, but the cycle, the weekly cycle, was the same. So whether you were Pharisee, Sadducee, or Essene, you may have kept a different calendar as far as how you calculated your month, but they all kept the same weekly calendar. There was nobody, absolutely nobody, that was in disagreement here of the priestly sects on what day the seventh day was. Everybody knew it. And again, even though Judaism, you look, the oracles of Yahweh were given to Judah, you know, to preserve. And although Judah went through captivity and all these different things, they have always kept that seven-day cycle intact. It's never stopped. It's never changed. Even when there's been calendars that have been the Julian calendar, you know, and the Gregorian calendar, and some of these calendars where they had to add days, you know, they would add an extra 10 days over here, the weekly cycle never changed. The weekly cycle never changed. So the whole basis of this is just something that in recent times came up from a man, for whatever reason. I'm not going to try to figure out his motive to it, but I am going to say that conclusively we proved with 6 points today that it's impossible. On the other end, is there even one? Is there even remotely one clear-cut scripture? I'm not talking about a peripheral thing out there that can be twisted. I gave 6 clear-cut, solid reasons why this cannot be true. Is there even one scripture that even remotely, talking about the moon cycle, talks about long 3-day Sabbaths, nothing days, or anything else? No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing even remotely that would hint to that's the way we need to calculate the Sabbath. Now, why is this so serious? Why is it so serious? Because you know something? If this was about how to make our tassel, and these people were making a tassel that was, I don't know, that was 2 feet long, and we were making it that long. If it was something that wasn't so important, maybe it wouldn't matter all that much. But when you're looking at the gravity of what this is an extremely serious thing. Let's go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, because I think what we're going to see is when we read this, that the spirit that comes with this lunar Sabbath may be the very reason why they're doing what they're doing. Exodus 31, and starting in verse 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "And you speak to the sons of Israel, charging them, commanding them, charging them, only my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you for your generation, to know that I am Yahweh, your sanctifier. And you shall keep the Sabbath," literally guard and protect, shamar. It's one of the words we had in our Hebrew class. "For it is holy, set apart for you. The profaners of it shall surely be executed. For everyone doing work in it, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of his people. Work may be done 6 days, and on the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest, set apart to Yahweh. Everyone doing work on the 7th day surely shall be put to death. And the sons of Israel shall guard the Sabbath, to observe and to do Sabbath, the Sabbath, for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant." A never-ending covenant. So again, are they making Yahweh out to be a liar? He says this is a never-ending covenant, and all of a sudden, after 3,000 years, we're going to figure out we all had it wrong? That nobody was keeping this ever? Until this guy came up with this theory in his backyard or wherever it was? You know, and actually where it came from, this is a theory that came from 3,000 years ago from Babylon. You could search that out. They were actually doing this back in Babylon through paganism 3,000 years ago. But you know, like it says, like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Satan uses the same tricks over and over again because like Pavlov's dogs, he's able to trick human beings. "The sons of Israel shall guard the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, to do the Sabbath for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant." Do we see how serious the Sabbath is? You see more written about the Sabbath day than any other commandment in the Torah. Because the Sabbath is not only about the actual observance of doing it, it is the literal sign of what it means. It's the literal sign that's putting you in the family of Yahweh. It's the literal sign showing who is the creator of the universe and all the other false Elohim that's out there. "It is a sign forever between me and the sons of Israel. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, and on the 7th day he rested and was refreshed."
6 days work, 7 days Sabbath. 6 days work, 7 days Sabbath. No 9 days. No 9 days, no extra days, no 9 day weeks. Nothing in Scripture, not one remotely. And when he finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave to Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of Elohim. Now I bring this up because this is so serious for a reason. If Yahweh, if there was something in Yahweh's congregation that was wrong, if there was something that was lost, if there was, and there was, I mean, before 1900, there was a lot of the doctrines that were hidden, that there was only few people knowing them. And there's a lot in the last 100 years that has come out that we didn't have before. But if there was something so serious, so important, like the Sabbath day, that all of his leadership, all of his congregations, all of his people had wrong, don't you think, according to judicial order, that Yahweh would bring it up to his leaders? Don't you think that Yahweh would reveal to the leaders that this is wrong? What needs to be changed? If you notice, I know of, and I could be wrong, I don't know of everything, but as far as I know of no true congregation that's one of Yahweh's congregations that is keeping a lunar Sabbath. I don't know of anyone, not one. I know of a lot of individuals who are against leadership, who are against pastors, who are against ordination, who are out there on their own, against judicial order, that are keeping this lunar Sabbath. And you know why I grieve? Because I think that Yahweh gave them a spirit of delusion. Because they love not the truth, I'll give them a spirit of delusion that they'll believe a lie. And that's scary to me. That's scary to me that when you get away from the body, when you're that little sheep that's going out near that fence, that the end can be this. Something so ridiculous as this, that anyone can believe this. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. It is the tip of the iceberg. Because you know where this leads you to? It believes in not believing that Yeshua pre-existed. It's believing Yeshua and Satan are brothers. It's believing in every kind of ridiculous nonsense that you can get into. And that's where getting away from Yahweh's judicial order will lead to. That's where it will lead to. That these people are worshiping who knows what on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Wednesday according to the month. But Yahweh is Elohim of HaShabbat. There is no other religion, no other people in the world who worship their deity on HaShabbat. There is no other place in the world but Israel. And you know when you're here. Every Friday when you walk out there, what do people say to you? Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Yahweh never allowed, even with everything that's happened, with diasporas, with captivities, with pogroms and wars, and still today, almost 6,000 years from creation, in the land where it all started from, everyone says Shabbat Shalom. Even if they're Arabs, they'll tell you Shabbat Shalom. Even if they're Christians and say the law is nailed to the cross, they'll tell you Shabbat Shalom. Even if they're atheists, they'll tell you Shabbat Shalom. If that's not enough proof of Yahweh's diligence and Yahweh's way in the world, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. But I'll tell you, like I said, this is one thing I'm talking about today. One little doctrine. One little doctrine that has a lot more meaning than maybe people think. And I say it with all my heart. Like I said, I mean, I gave it here, not for any particular reason. I hope it was beneficial to some of you that may have friends. I know there were a few people here saying to me, I have some friends that are falling into this. But really, it's to whoever person is out there that may be falling into this, that beside the point of Shabbat, for somebody to fall into this, I'm telling you, there's something wrong in here. There's something wrong in here. They're not following Yahweh's spirit. Yahweh's spirit will not lead you into this. And certainly Yahweh's judicial order and leaders will not lead you into this. I have never met a leader of Yahweh in my life, in 28 years, in the walk I've been in, and also in 25 years of studying the history of the congregation, I've never, ever, ever heard of a leader in Yahweh's congregation over the 2,000 years and beyond that ever taught anything but the seventh-day Sabbath being on Saturday. A matter of fact, in the wilderness, a lot of our brothers and sisters that were in the wilderness, they didn't have a lot of the truth we have today. Some of these people, you know, when they lived in caves and they had to hide their whole lives from the Romans and hide from the pogroms of the Romans to these people. Most of them, they didn't have Bibles. What they had were little things they had scribbled down at times until the Waldenses came. And like I said, Peter Waldo, who was a very, very rich merchant and spent most of his money on making a Bible translation in the vernacular of the people so they could have it. And then after that, Waldensian children, they could memorize whole books of the Bible. You would see their children. And they were simple people. They were blue collar. They were farmers. But one thing you always see in the wilderness was the Ten Commandments and Sabbath keepers. Always. You will never ever see anything different. The basic of the congregation, they all believed in the millennium, a literal thousand-year return of Yeshua. They all believed in water baptism, laying on of hands. They all believed in repentance of sin. You know, they all believed in resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment. The six basic doctrines that you see in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. All the time they believed in that, but the Sabbath is the core. You know, when you look at what they find, what you find historically about the congregation in the wilderness, always the one distinction that you knew the difference of them than the Church of Rome was the Shabbat, was the Sabbath day. It was always set apart. So if there is a doctrine that Satan would try to hoodwink Yahweh's people on, what do you think it would be? It would be the Sabbath day. I mean, I'm telling you, if I would have heard this 10 years ago, I would think, you've got to be kidding. There's nobody in a million years that would ever believe that. But they're believing it because they're coming under a spirit of delusion. And we don't want to come under that spirit of delusion. And if we turn, I tell this to new people. Yahweh's, you know, many are called, few are chosen. And there are millions of people out there who are called, maybe billions of people. But there are only few that are chosen. There are only few that are in covenant relationship. And when I tell people that are new, that they understand something, I've met people that, wow, I really understand this. I believe what you're saying, the Sabbath is, you know, Saturday, it's not Sunday. And they never act on it. Talk to them a month later. Have you quit your job yet? Nah. I know it's right. It'll come. I'm waiting for this or I'm waiting for that. Are you still going to your Sunday church? Yeah. I don't feel the need to leave yet. And then as time goes on and day goes on, do not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Then all of a sudden, 6 months later, a year later, where are they? Right back to square one. Because if you don't act on the knowledge that Yahweh gives you, he'll take it away. Parable of the talents, very simple. You know that Yahweh says, do not throw your pearls before swine. And when he gives us knowledge, no matter what that knowledge is, it doesn't matter. Something from his word, when you're reading your Bible this morning and something stood out like it never did before, thank him for it, cherish it, and act on it. That's what it's all about. That's what it's about. But if you don't, this is what's going to happen. In the end, you'll wind up getting deceived. In the end, you'll wind up going off course. And in the end, you'll get into things that you would have never thought you could in a million years. So I think we should all pray for people. People who honestly have gotten hoodwinked by some of these things. That have strayed, the sheep that have strayed from the pen of the true shepherd. And it, literally, like I said, the one sign. You know, in my life, I'm telling you, in 28 years, there's a lot of things that maybe I could have thought one way or the other. But I'm telling you, from the day I learned about this Sabbath, there was no way that I would ever, ever give up the Sabbath day. I've had so many blessings by Yahweh. And I was always thought, wow, why on earth would you reveal your set apart day to me? When there's billions of people out there, why would you reveal it to little old me? And to think to give that up, to think to give that specialness up, that Yahweh says, this is what makes you my child. And now, they're going to throw it out the window. For what? For what? You know, when people, I've had people come up to me and talk about this, and I'll say to them, who wrote the paper? I don't know. You don't know? You don't know? You gave up the Sabbath? You gave up the one sign that makes you a child of Yahweh, and you don't know who wrote the paper? You don't even know his name? You didn't check him out? You didn't check his credentials? You don't know nothing about the person? And then I'll start asking questions. Well, what did it say here? I'm not really sure. I don't really remember. They don't remember what the paper says, but they're keeping this. There's something wrong. There's something wrong here. And it's the time we're living in. It's the Laodicean era. There's something wrong. All I can say is stay close to the trunk of the tree. You know, like we said, every single thing, and this is what I've always loved since the day I came into Yahweh's congregation, is that everything is provable in the Bible. I'm telling you, when I was first getting cold, when I was a young believer and I wasn't sure, and I had a list of 95 questions, and Jehovah Witnesses, they were knocking on my door every other day. And I was praying to Yahweh. I didn't know the difference, you know. And he had Satan sending these false people out there, and he had his ministers that were coming. And I'm telling you, you probably all have the same stories. When I was a young believer, when you're first getting called, Satan, that's the hardest time he's going to come at you. I was telling some men about this a couple of weeks ago. When I was first getting called, and I wasn't even baptized yet or nothing, and I was driving down the highway in a van. There was an 18-wheeler in front of me on a major highway, New Jersey Turnpike. His doors were open, and a pipe, 3-foot pipe, weighed about 25, 30 pounds, came flying out of that truck, through my windshield, through my dashboard, and was about that much away from going through my heart. And I know an angel had to guide that thing. Because if it came sideways, I'd be dead. There's no way you can survive. The impact of that going, that truck going 60, 70 miles an hour and that thing flies out of there, I would have been dead. If that did not come like a bullet straight through, and I knew from that day, man, Satan is out to get me. Satan was out to get me. And he's out to get every one of us. He's out to deceive us any way that he can. And we have to guard against it. We can't let him get us. We can't let him draw us away. We have to be reading our Bibles. We have to be studying. And when I had the minister of Elohim come to my house, and like I said, I had 95 questions, and in my mind I said to myself, as soon as he tells me it's a mystery, as soon as he tells me all this and that, then that's it. I'll send him out the door, and that'll be the end of it. And this man, every time I said, well, what do you think about this? He went right to his Bible and answered it from the Bible. Well, what does your church think about this? It doesn't matter what our church thinks. Let's see what the Word says. And that's the way it's got to be. Every single subject we're going over, we have to open up the Word line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it's all pretty simple when you do it that way. It's when you get away from that kind of studying, of logical, you know, study like that, you wind up getting into this. Things that are totally irrational, illogical, and unscriptural. Things where you can't give even one solid scripture to prove something. And that's why we need to be in the Word, because in the times that are coming, the deception's going to get worse and worse and worse to the very end. So we need to be memorizing this Word so that Satan doesn't get us, and that also we can help the people that are being deceived. Always have an answer for the hope that lies within us, like it says in 1 Peter 3:15. Alrighty, that'll be all. Thank you very much. We'll close the video, and if there's any questions or comments on this, we'll take them.